Today in the book of the Revelation, I'm interested in a couple of verses. If you'd stand with us and we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Glad you're here today. I'm glad He's here. Most important that He shows up. For He said, without Him you can do nothing. I'm more convinced of that today in nearly 20 years of preaching than I've ever been all my life. I'm a needy preacher today. The Bible said in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1, in verse number 12, John now is on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. He can get your attention. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to turn him off. Well, if he turns the volume up, you won't get away from his voice, honey. So he said, I heard a voice, and I turned to see. Aren't you glad that he still speaks with his children today? How you know he lives, preacher? Because he speaks to me. How you know this Bible's true? Because I'm living proof. He still saves old sinners. The Bible said, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like the fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand on me, saying to me, fear not, I'm the first, and I'll be the last. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. He said, write these things which thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, or the messengers, or the pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Thank you for standing this morning. Appreciate you reverencing the Word of God. We've been dealing with the symbols Jesus left in His Word concerning the church. We dealt previously with the phrase of the pearl. He said it was of a great price. He sold all that he had to get that one costly pearl. We've seen the house where the Spirit of God dwells in this old house of clay. One day it's going to lay down. It is a great place. It's a great place that God would live in me and you. Isn't that amazing that God lives in me and you? When we leave His church building, God leaves out with each one of His children. When we come to church, we bring Him with us. And He begins to minister through His young'uns. That's why it's so important that you be obedient to let God move so that we may listen to the moving of the Spirit of God. Then we've seen the pillar, a great principle, the pillar and the ground of truth. America's in trouble today. Our answer's not in the upcoming election of November. My friend, our answer is the sovereign God of the Bible would intervene in our country. Oh, how I wish that God would bring our country to its knees so we may see Him, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, again. And so it is the pillar, the great principle of the ground of truth. Don't think it's strange now, you that pulled in down here this morning in the drive. If you'll look on the right-hand side, it said Liberty Baptist Church. It did not say cemetery. Did not say mortuary. Did not say community gathering place. But it said the church, for it is the pillar and the ground of truth. Truth hurts, but truth will help you this morning. So this should be a place of truth, great principle. We dealt with the flock. Oh, how it's a great picture that Jesus left the 99 to go after that which was lost. He's the great shepherd. Then we spoke about the body as a great purpose. A place here that we may belong and believe, and a place that we may become in the body of Christ, joined together, no big ones, no little ones, but we all answer to the head, being the great shepherd. Certainly, we spoke about, lastly, a family is a great people. It's an honor to be a child of God. What a great people. I mean, you can go all across the country and run into God's people. This morning, I want to look at this candlestick as a great presence. If there's ever been a day and an hour that the church needs to get back to the presence of God, it is this morning. The average church is not much more than a gathering place where people gossip and talk, and it's become a social center, a place where people gather and instead of to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Honey, the average Baptist church knows nothing about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth this morning. I found out when you really go to meet with God, you don't know what's going to happen next. But we live in a day of planograms and programs and gadgets and games, and we've turned the church house into nothing more than rec centers and entertainment clubs. Honey, I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus put this church here in this community to be a light to a lost and a dying world, that sinners may have hope and help by the way of an old rugged cross. This candlestick, we find Jesus walking in the midst, and we see here it has a divine presence. Has a divine influence. I'm glad that we have a candlestick in Bowdoin, Georgia, that is illuminating the love of Christ and the hope of heaven and the certainty of hell if sinners aren't saved by the grace of God. You hear me and hear me well, friend. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We don't serve a Mickey Mouse God. We serve a God that died on a cross. And if you reject Him, in hell will be your home. Oh, I'm telling you, this candlestick, a great presence. I want to deal with three things about this candlestick this morning. First of all, I want to deal about the developing of the candlestick. Then I want to look at the devotion to the candlestick. Then I want to close with a thought of the duty of the candlestick. We find in Revelation 2 now, in verse number 1, the story picks up, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. We see this developing of a candlestick. You'll notice here that he addressed every church letter to the angel or to the pastor. Look that word up, and it has to do with messenger or pastor or overseer of the church. And you'll notice in all seven churches in Revelation, all the way from Ephesus to the Laodicean church age of where we live this morning, which means power of the people, you'll notice he addressed every letter first to the angel or to the messenger of that church. Why would he do that? I love what one of the old theologians had to say last night. I pinned it in my Bible. He said the church was addressed to the angel, and for a great reason. For the state of the one is generally the state of the other. I'm going to tell you, if I was pastoring a dead church in America this morning, I'd be scared to say it because it'd mean I was dead. Amen. I'm going to tell you, so the pastor, so goes the church. You show me a church don't worship, I'll show you the preacher don't worship. You show me a church that's cliquey and gimmicky, I'll show you a preacher that's gimmicky. This morning he's addressing the angel of that pastor of the church first and foremost. And isn't it amazing? That pastor's got to get the message first before the people can get it. It don't come in a group of authority, honey. It's always been the rules and the means of God's local church to have one man in charge. You hear me and hear me well. God never called a woman to preach the gospel and pastor a church. How in the world can the husband of one wife be a woman? People's confused, friend. I believe in the old time way. I believe standing what's worked from our forefathers. I believe in the Moses mentality. I believe you follow the man of God over in the promised land and God will part the waters for you. God's always given that local church a message through its preacher. And so this morning we find the address of this church. We find the developing of this candlestick. We find that it was golden. Isn't it amazing that God puts me and you upon that type of shelf of where that He calls us that we stand out from the rest of all material. He sees us as golden lamps. The church, the called out ones of this old world whom He hung and died and rescued. I'm glad this morning that we see that the development of this candlestick. We see, first of all, its finding. Job said in chapter 23 and verse number 10, you don't have to turn, but he simply said this, when he hath tried me, he hath bring me forth as gold. Oh, today we see the development of this candlestick. And this candlestick in the church was simply a golden candlestick on branched out of both sides, and it had lamps. It carried a light. When you'd walk into the old tabernacle, they had this golden candlestick set up that they may come in and it may light the presence of the people. This morning, isn't it amazing this development of the candlestick? There was a finding. He dug us out of this old world. Aren't you glad that God came to where you was and found you? You say, well, I found the Lord. No, honey. He wasn't lost. You the one that was lost. Ain't you glad that He took the searchlight of the Holy Ghost and come around to where you was? He dug us out of this old world. We see this development. There was a finding. I'm glad He dug me out of this world. I'm not the same anymore. He dug me out. The finding. And then the fashioning. There was a fashioning that went on. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, and verse number 3, there's a fashioning of this gold. The Bible is very clear of how it says in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 5. He said, we're kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We see this development of the candlestick, its finding and its fashioning. You know the reason that you're made of pure gold this morning is because you've been fired through this walk of life and God is bringing them old impurities out of our life. How come storms come to make us better? How come fires come to make us better? Well, God takes that gold and He digs it out. It don't look too good, but honey, when He puts the heat under it and He puts the fire under it, there's a fashioning and He's making something out of me and you that only He knows what we're going to look like. I have no idea what He's fashioning me to be. Some of you have rings of different sizes and different designs, but I can tell you this, when God's done with you, He's got the end in mind and you're going to come out just the way He wants you to be. I've wondered a lot of times, I wish everybody's told me if you just settle down, not get a red face and a slobbering and a hollering, you could pastor you a big old Baptist church.
Honey, all I know to do is what God's called me to do. He's making me to be who He wants me to be. And all we can be is what He's wanting us to be by His good honor and His glory. Sometimes I would love to be a calm preacher so you don't get as nervous as you look this morning. But it's not in me to be that way. Thank God He's making us. When He puts the fire under you, He's fashioning you into His honor and His glory. I noticed there was a find and a fashioning. But thirdly, there's got to be a feeling. Them lamps did not burn by themselves. There had to be oil put in them lamps. I'm glad one blessed day when I... Woo, hell, I'm glad one... Now, I ain't holiness, I'm Baptist, but listen to me. I'm glad one blessed day when I fell at the foot of Calvary, repented of my sins, He filled me with His good presence of the Holy Ghost. Put that oil in my lamp. Thank God for you got any oil in your lamp this morning. I go back to that feeling in Matthew 25 and verse number 1, talking about the development of this lamp now. This passage come to my heart that I must share with you today before we leave. In Matthew 25, you know this old story. The Bible said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like to 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, 5 was foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.'" They knowed who had the oil. I've been sitting around this place now about 13 years. I've got a pretty good idea who's got the oil. You say, well, who's got the oil? Them that the lights are burning in. Honey, you can't let the light of Jesus shine out of your life until you got oil in your vessel. They all look the same, but they was missing something. The key ingredient. The oil. And ain't it amazing they knowed who to go to ask for oil? Thank God. I know some folks around here toting oil this morning. The Bible said, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready," are you ready? "Went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not.'" In other words, he never did know them. Watch. "For you know neither the day or the hour where the Son of Man cometh." There is a feeling. I'm glad. The Bible says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." Preacher, I want to ask, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Do you run around speaking tongues and flopping the floor? No, that's wildfire. Honey, I'm going to tell you, when the God of glory moves in you, hell will move out. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong or doing wrong if the Holy Ghost lives in you. I got that ant radar lives in me. Sometimes my wife says, "Ain't you going to carry the garbage out?" I say, "No." Holy Ghost say, "Eh." I say, "Yes, ma'am. I'm taking it out right now." Sometimes she'll say, "My car needs washed." I say, "I'm tired. Ain't a washing your car." All of a sudden the Holy Ghost say, "Eh." And I say, "Honey, give me the keys to your car." I'm telling you this morning, friend, the Holy Ghost lives in you. You can't do long wrong. Your sin will find you out. Buddy, the Holy Ghost won't let you do wrong and not let you know about it. Man made a statement. I don't know where it was, but I heard it. Heard it the other night at the preacher's meeting. What a profound statement. You know, we say a lot of times, who can know our heart? We don't know our heart. Honey, if the Holy Ghost lives in you, He knows your heart, and He'll show you what's in your heart. I hope I ain't no difference. These times I've been preaching, reach back and get third gear. He said, "You ain't getting it till you take care of that sin in your heart." That sin creeps up on us. But you can know your heart by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you that buzzer every now and then. Shake that mule head this morning. You better know it works, friend. There's something about this thing, of this feeling, of this oil. I can't do what I used to do. Can't say what I used to say. Can't go where I used to go. Why? Because God lives in here. The God-man made residence in this man. Made me a new creature in Christ. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to be. I make more mistakes than you do. But I'm glad He don't let me go too long. That ant buzzer goes off. Amen. That time a little lady pulls out in front of you and you start to do something ugly. And the Holy Ghost tell you, aunt, thank God He lives in us this morning. The feeling and then the firing had to be struck, had to be lit. Talking about this development of the candlestick. Acts 2, verse number 1. I want to show you that early church. And I'll be closing. Sometime. The Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they had sat. There appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Now, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting fired up for Jesus. I thought about, honey, if you ain't got something in you, you never had a match struck to you. Boy, this lampstand has got to be filled, but it's got to be fired. I'm glad I sat under some old men of God that struck a match under me. I'm so glad I'm in a church where some saints of God's got some fire in them. Some men to stand up, go to hooping hooray for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glad it's a better day to come. You say, I don't like that holy-roly business. Well, you're in the wrong service this morning. I'm telling you today, I'm so glad that I sat under some old men of God, Brother Tim, that struck a match to me. And I got hungry and eager for the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost set me afire. Boy, remember those on the mess road walking so sad. Jesus come by. When He left, He spoke to them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? This morning, oh, how we need Holy Ghost heartburn in a day and hour that we live. So we see this development of the candlestick. God is making a candlestick out of us. And then the devotion of the candlestick. Watch this in Revelation 2 and verse 1. The Bible said, He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Boy, the devotion to the candlesticks. We see in verse number 1, He's holding. We see His protection. I'm glad we're protected by the power of God this morning. Reserved in heaven for you. If I could work my way in, I could work my way out. But I'm glad I got saved by grace. I couldn't work it in, so I can't work it out. I'm glad I'm kept for all eternity. So we see we're kept by the power, by the hand of God, while we are in His right hand. So we see this devotion. He's very devoted to His candlestick. Notice this, His protection, but then His presence. The Bible said in verse number 1, He walketh. I'm glad it doesn't say where He walked. But He walketh. Wherever that church goes, He's there. And then this devotion of this candlestick, His protection, His presence. But look at His place. Verse 1, He's right in the midst. I want to say He needs to be slap dab right in the middle of everything we're doing. You say, preacher, what slap dab mean? That's a Tennessee vernacular I brought with me. I don't know what it means, but I can tell you what I mean for it to mean. He needs to be in the middle of everything we're doing. In the midst. His place. Is He in the center of what you're doing? If didn't, I'd be changing direction. Is He in the middle of everything that we're doing in this ministry? Is He in the middle of all this worship? Is He in the middle of this preaching? Is He in the middle of this giving? Is He in the middle of this loving? I certainly hope so. If not, we better be trying to get Him in the middle of everything. He desires to walk right in the midst of the candlestick. Boy, when He's walking in, He's doing some maintenance, is He not? I mean, He's trimming lamps. He's wiping globes. He's giving you things in your life you need to take care of. Why? So your light can burn. We see His place. He's in the midst of the candlesticks. And then notice this in verse number 2, His perception. Here's a church that I don't have time to really give you a lot of background on, but They really loved Jesus at one time. I mean, they started out, buddy, but now the honeymoon's over. Any of you ever been married over about 3 or 4 months and the honeymoon got over? You know, I found out being married 28 years now, working on 29, that the honeymoon gets over. But I've noticed this, it don't have to. It don't have to. And something dawned on me not long ago. It don't have to. My wife, I seen her walked in the foyer this morning. She had on that new pretty top. I went goo-goo-eyed when I seen it. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go get some lunch right now with her. Amen. Thank God. I mean, you say, preach, y'all not talk. Oh, honey, we hold hands. We hold hands, son. I'm telling you, I throw them shoulders back, Miss Flo, and I strut like a rooster down the street with her. Praise God, I'm glad she's on my arm, Miss Flo. I'm telling you, the honeymoon ain't got to be over. You say, what's it do when she winks at you? Lord, it just tears me apart. Man, I seen that lady at Panama City, late 70s. I'm telling you what, all them other women out there on that beach, they were, I didn't see nobody else but Tim, just that red hair. You say, what's going on, preacher? God's fixing to save me. God struck me down with her, brought me back across this pine thicket, right over here at Sandy Flat Baptist Church where she'd been raised, and the Holy Ghost got your preacher. Pulled me out of a hayfield in Middle Tennessee, minding my own business. Honey, don't tell me the Holy Ghost wasn't in it. Everybody done told her, throw the towel in. I'm glad it's hope at Calvary's cross this morning. I'm glad she didn't throw me back. I'm glad God gave me a chance by His good grace this morning. Happiest man in Bowden. Got the best wife, best looking woman in the building. Praise God, the best cook, best mama, best preacher's wife. If you don't believe it, ask me out to church. I'm telling you today, friend, the honeymoon ain't got to be over. But in this church, the honeymoon ain't got over. I'm going to show you something that's going to amaze you today in this closing thought. The devotion, the candlestick, he's right there in the midst. But now I want us to look, if we could, at the duty of the candlestick. What's its function? What is it to do? It may surprise you what I'm supposed to tell you what it's supposed to do. I thought sure before I got to developing this sermon last night that it was to simply shine, but that ain't right. No. No, that's not right at all. I want to tell you something. Christ is more concerned about what we do with Him than what we do for Him. And I want you to look what He says. He said, verse 2, I know your works and your labor and your pain. There's eat up with works. There's eat up with bus routes. There's eat up with visiting. There's eat up with everything. But they've lost the key ingredient, Him. The love for Christ. You know why some of you don't worship this morning? Your loves went out. You know why some of you won't get to church? Your loves run out. You know why you won't go to an altar? Your love has run out. That's what He said. He said, I know your works. He said, I know your labor and your patience. He said, I know you can't even bear them which are evil. He said, in other words, you're standing against the evil of the day, the wolves. He said, you don't like that false heresy going on. And He says this, thou hast tried them. We say they're apostles and are not, and you found them to be liars. He said, you stood for the truth. He said, you've borne, you've got patience for my name's sake. You've labored and not fainted. Man, you're talking about a faithful bunch, son. It looks like they was Johnny on the spot. Sunday school running 400, preaching hour about 600. Everything looked real good. But in verse number 4, He throws a kink in there. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly, I'll remove your candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I want to close with this now this morning. The duty of the candlestick, without love, the light goes out. Can I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter. We've got drawings out there in that building to add on to the sanctuary. We can pack it out every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. We can pack it out. We can give more money to missions than this church has ever given. The offerings can be at an all-time high. I mean, the parking lot can be overflowing with cars. But you hear this preacher and hear me well, honey. If there's no love in the house of God for the Savior of God, then the light soon goes out. He's more concerned of what we do with Him than what we do for Him. And you know why? Because when you get totally engulfed with Him, you'll do anything He asks you to do. This week, y'all think I'm trying to get points, but I'm really not. Miss Renee was at work. I said, you know, I'm not too good at washing, but I'm going to try it. I put too much fabric softener in, Miss Tina, and colored my socks a different color. But you know, she was so happy, Miss Diane, that I tried. And I got one thing out of the dryer, and I folded them, got them up. And I said, now that ain't enough. I'm going to get me a mop, and I'm going to do the kitchen real good. Man, she come in, she looked at me, she said, oh, my Lord. I was sitting there just a-beaming. She said, honey, what's got into you? I said, baby, I done this because I love you. Now, you see, if she's got all of my love, she's got all of me.
That's right.
If she's got all of my love, it ain't hard for me to do something for her. But our problem is this. You would think, sure, that our total duty was to let our light shine to a lost and a dying world. And it is part of it. But the key ingredient is this, is to love the Lord God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. When you love Him, honey, you love Him more than the ball game. You love Him more than the TV. You love Him more than the Kiwanis meeting on Wednesday night. Our problem why our church ain't full on Wednesday, it's a love problem. Love problem. Love problem. Isn't that amazing? The duty of this candlestick. We see our first of all is to love. Do the first works, He said. You remember about Martha 10:38? If y'all let me preach about 10 more minutes, I won't preach so long tonight. And this, just watch this with me. In Luke 10:38. This is a great story. Now, here's two sisters in church. I pastored both of them. The Bible said, now it came to pass as they went that He entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. She had her sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And Martha was cumbered. That word means distressed or distracted about with much serving. And came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And be it her therefore that she help me. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said in 41. No, I really don't care. Because this is what He said. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing's needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, He said, you so caught up in all this busy, 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 and she's sitting at my feet, she's doing the most important thing. She's taking care of the first base for. She's doing what I want her to do, just loving me. Loving me, sitting at my feet, listening to me, loving me. And you're just busy, busy, busy. Busy. I've noticed when people get burnt out and get too busy, they've missed that key ingredient right there. They've quit sitting at His feet. This morning, what's the duty? Miss Julie, I want you to come play something this morning. I just want you to sing, if you would, Miss Julie. What's the duty? Oh, it's to love. Do your first works what Jesus said. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember the people you called? Man, when I got saved, Brother Troy, people that I was fishing with and running with and hunting with, I told everybody about the love of Christ. Why have you quit telling people the good news? Well, the people here that saved and dedicated this church, I'll not even hold it. The balcony, I'll be overflowing this morning. Why is it we can talk about ball games and about election, but we don't tell nobody about Jesus? I mean, we can talk about everything, but it ought to be in our total vision. When we meet a stranger, invite them to Liberty Baptist Church and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, visitors come in this place, they ought to be overflowed with love. I'm not talking about gimmicky, old possum.